Hey guys, can you hear me okay? I have a lot going on here. Oh, this is great. Hello. Hi, Cam. You made it. Awesome. Julie, I see that you're here. Yeah, totally excited. You're ready to play, you guys. I want to go through a couple things. So let me look at my notes because I never want to mess anything up. Last time we were chatting, Julie had said, "How do I get my lights to go warmer?" Some of you might want to be cooler depending on what you're shooting. So these, I didn't have the gels at the time. So these are called gels. And you can see, like, they are transparent. And so if you want to warm something up, there's yellow, there's orange, there's all kinds. I think I did share these, but I could share these in the actual I could share it in a PDF that I'm going to end up giving you guys for this. So I'll share the links to these gels. So if you want something cooler, you add these to the lights. These are great. When you guys give me an image on what your goals are, then I can look at it and see, okay, where was the light positioning and what did they do? And then recreate it for you guys. So I did that today, just so you guys all know the goal that we're doing, what we're doing today. And this is what Julie had asked. So let me do a screen share. I'll go over to screen two. And this is what Julie submitted and said she really wants to learn how to do this kind of stuff. So basically, there's a couple things that I want you guys to always pay attention to when you're researching. Always look, let's get up closer. You could see that they are using the lights up above. You could see by the shadows down in here that the light is above. In order to play, you have to make mistakes. You have to learn by making mistakes. So you're going to get a little bit of a tutorial on how to stack today, because if this is what you want, you get down low and you have to stack and you have to have light up at top. So that's how that they got that image. I'm going to also give you another tip too on a little bit of post-processing to help you with your website and getting them white. I'm used to strobes and I didn't want to do strobes today. I wanted to do continuous lighting because I know most of you guys don't have the strobes or monolights. Monolights are actually better if you want to try this, and I'll share links to that. The reason why strobes and monolights are easier is that you can position your lights, and within that light, you can make it more intense or less intense. Whereas a continuous light, you need to add, say, this light compared to this light if you want more lighting. Because we're going to talk about shadows today when it comes to lighting. Shadows are what you really want to pay attention to when you're shooting. Everybody seem you think you're going to pay attention to the actual light source. It's really about the shadows and how it's working on the image. So it is, to me, a lot harder for continuous light because I can take my strobes, or I used to have monolights. That's a monolight is where you have your light. You can see that light right there. And within that, you can change how intense you want the light to hit your subject. It's just so much easier to dial up, to dial down, instead of putting in a new light, changing a new light. Because when you move, you'll see, I'm going to do a real quick demonstration. When you move your light back and forth, it changes the way the shadow hits. But say if you want more, yeah, you could change your exposure and everything, but it's good to really get the light way the way you want it, and then you adjust your exposure to that light. So it's a challenge for sure. If you're going to start getting into the products and stuff, I would personally start looking at monolights if you're continually doing this kind of stuff. Plus, you have more options to really be able to maneuver. I have grids, I have all kinds of stuff, but I didn't want to do that today. I want you to know about the inverse square law, and If you don't know what that is, basically, I'm not going to get all technical, but basically it's super easy. When you have your light source, say this is the subject and the light's hitting the subject and the light's right here. Okay. And you got your exposure where you want it. And you're like, well, you know what? I want to back up a little bit because I want to soften the shadows a little bit. So here's the distance. You double the distance. And that is two stops that you will have to adjust in your camera to make sure you have a good exposure. So you're going to have to add either more light. I would never check. Once you get your f-stops, I keep my f-stops the same. So once I like where my f-stop is, f8, f11, I wouldn't go in my camera probably f14, but maybe f16. You know, as you get those f-stops to be smaller and smaller, it actually blurs your subject. I know you don't think so, but when you get up this close, it really does. So I know you get more depth of field, but if you want a crisp look, depending on what you're doing, then you want to do 8, 11, you know, 14, something like that. But once you get farther things, if you're doing 16, you know, to 22, I wouldn't go past 22 because for sure you're going to be F22. After F22, you're definitely blur. You're not as sharp. And we're getting up close. When you're doing other stuff, it's not that much of a deal. But when you're getting in close, you really do can tell when things are sharp and when it's not. I asked for you guys to do a tent or something to, you don't have to have a tent like what I'm having, but you got to make some kind of source because what you're going to do is you're going to, there's several different kinds of lights. So what you do is you have a hard light, which we'll talk about. You'll have a soft light by moving your light source, but then you also have a diffuse light. And that's what we're talking about today because pearls are all over the place. They're, the lights hits it and it goes all over. Crazy, crazy stuff. So you really do need to diffuse it. So you use tents. I'm going to share with you right now. This is a plastic. It's like a thin diffusing paper you can buy. Very easy. Just look it up. I'll share the link to that too. And it's translucent. So this is really good to have. Matter of fact, for the shot that I have here, because I couldn't reduce some of the light that I wanted to, I added this on top of the tent. So you'll see that right now when we do that. One of the things that I feel that pearls look pretty is when it has a consistent look of shadows and a consistent look of highlights. And that's, it's just because it I don't know, to me, I think it's beautiful. They look gorgeous. I have C stands that I want to share with you, but let me shut off my main light. So I have light up here and you don't want to use that. You really, these lights that I have are actually, they are balanced. They're daylight balance. And I forgot to mention that. That's one of the things that these are purposely daylight balanced. The ones up here are tungsten. And that's why everything was really yellow. I don't want the yellow stuff. This is what I wanted to share with you guys. Shadows is everything. So when you directly light up pearls, it's just so harsh, to tell you the truth. And even when you go in the back, outside in natural light, if you want to be consistent like Julie does, then you have to go back at the same time frame, and it's just easier to have a studio setup. And that's why we've got it in a tent. I have the same light source. Once I get what I like, I'm going to go ahead and start shooting. These pearls are very beautiful. They're for my granddaughter. So you could see that it's not in focus in the background. And I'm at F11 right here. So, I mean, when I took a picture, you get more in focus, but you get about halfway, like right in here. And see the circles of confusion in the background?
Well, that's just a mess. So anyways, when you, here's on the top, and as I move the lights, you could see the shadows and how it feels like the actual bracelet is moving. And it's interesting because you could really manipulate stuff. I mean, it's so much fun. I love it. Now, here's a side light. This is hard light. You could see that it's hard. And it doesn't look pretty with pearls. But as I back off the light, the shadows, look at the shadows all the time. The shadows become softer. But as I back off sideways, it gets softer. But it, with light, it's bouncing all over the place. So that's why the diffusion is so much nicer for pearls. Now look how soft that is. See how much, it just looks so much more elegant. And then you get up here, the top part. Here's a side view. But because Julie likes that other image, we're going to shoot what Julie likes. But see how the light is off to the right? And the dark part in the pearls is the camera. So the camera is part of the composition, but again, it's all, as long as you can keep things repetitive, it just looks beautiful. Nobody even realizes that it's the actual camera. It's just part of the dimension of the pearls. So here's the, see how small those little, how small and cute those pearls are? They're adorable. Oh my gosh, I just love them. I think they're so cute. It's so beautiful. But when you got the picture that you're seeing to the right, you realize, oh my gosh, that is so, it looks so big, because Julie needs to share with everybody what they actually look like. So the white on the bottom is that translucent stuff that I shared with you guys. Because down here on the floor, this is what came with my tent. And it's not even white anymore. It's totally yellow like the tent. So it's like I had to like use the translucent. There's a shot that I just did. Okay, so we know Lightroom's working. Yay! In the menu section here, there's a, I don't want to do format card, mirror lockup. It's right here. See? And so I set it to enable. And what that does is, because you have a Nikon, it, like Sony's don't have mirrors, so you don't have to worry about shakes. So that's another thing that you could do, is enable your mirror lockup. So what it does is that the mirror opens and then you push again and then it takes the picture so it doesn't shake. So that's something for close up if you want to do that. I will keep mine on there because I like that. I'm also using this. If you don't have something like this, then use a timer on your camera, like 2-second timer. That would be good. And I'm using daylight. I'm using daylight lights. So I've set my white balance. It's actually on auto white, but you could do it on daylight. Auto white balance is working good for me. You'll have to play with your white balance in your camera. And if you, I have a tutorial on how to white balance. You use a white card, take a picture. Once you get your subject the way you want it with the lights, then you put a white card right in front, take a picture. And then you will custom white balance in your camera and everything will look beautiful. Right now, I'm at F11 at 2 seconds. And I'm about 1.5 stops. One and a half stops overexposed on this. So when I look, I keep taking my camera off. So when I look here at the top of it, and I push my shutter halfway, there's little lines in there. And when in the middle is saying that that's a perfect exposure, but that's not a perfect exposure because everything is light over here. So the camera reads gray cards. So it's like, I forgot, what is it? 15%, 18% or something like that. But basically the camera has a neutral area in its ability to expose correctly, but it's going off of a gray scale, a neutral color. Because we have white, which is bright, it wants to compensate and saying, oh, whoa, that's way too overexposed. We got to take that exposure down. And when it does that, it makes everything go underexposed. So you have to, at least when you're doing anything white, then what you'll do is you'll overexpose. Anything dark, you underexpose. And so that, just remember that. It's usually about one stop, two stops at the most. There is another tool that you can use to make things in focus. And this, I'm sure you guys have it too on your camera and the Nikons, but there's a little button right here. You have to find this manually on your cameras, okay? And then I push this little button and it gets in close. And look, there we go. And I can adjust to make sure that's even closer. And I'll take a shot. Double shot and see what happens. Shoot advance. There we go. I'll look in my eyepiece. I look at the diopter, which is to the right of it, and I make sure I push halfway and I can see I'm at F11 at 2 seconds. And I make sure that's nice and sharp. I had to adjust because I'm wearing contacts. And now I know that everything that I see is actually in focus. It's just a little too bright for me. So I'm going to put this on top. It's translucent again. You can use anything. You can use cloth, whatever, as long as it's the light can go through it. You don't have to use these specific things. I want you to know that you could do anything that you want. You just have to work with it. You have to figure out, okay, I don't have this translucent thing, so what can I use? Well, how about something like this? I'll share with you here. This is my curtain. Sorry, darn it. Okay, this is my curtain. And see how translucent it is? So right now, yeah, that's very thin. It's not going to do much, but you can fold it a couple times so you can make things softer on your box or however you're working the system. So now I put that on top because it just seems to be blowing out my highlights a little bit too much. And it decreased my exposure a little bit, so I'm going to bump it up. I'll keep it at F11. What I want you to pay attention to is your, again, where are the shadows hitting? You could see that I'm up. My light is up high. We'll put it up higher so you can see it. But if you want to totally hide everything, then you cover this whole thing. And then right here, you could put the translucent stuff. You could put goodies in here on each side because you don't want this showing. It's going to show. And that's what, see, but my color is off here. So these to get, this is so old, I should get a new one to tell you the truth, but you could tell you want to block that off. Otherwise you're going to have that in your image. You're going to have that view. We'll take a picture so then you could see what I'm talking about. Personal preference, but you notice everything is consistent. The black is consistent, it's all consistent, everything's consistent. So here's this one. It's a little different. Let's do that. Hopefully that is not gonna pop off. Feels like it's going to. Sorry, I'm gonna be in your way, you guys. See, I have a line now. But that's just, again, my personal preference. I'm only using one light. I'm not using any more lights. You don't have to get crazy with this. And I actually like the dark areas. It's pretty. I mean, I wouldn't clone any of that out to tell you the truth. Like I said, it gives you dimensions. Here's more of a circle look to it. I don't really want to go too long with the shutters. If it starts going 20, 30, I just would bump up my ISO to 200. My ISO is at 100 right now, so I could bump it up to 200. It's not going to do an effect, you know, and then this way I've got a beautiful image. Okay, for this, got my white box. And, oh, I got to take the light off because we're not going to shine above. We're going to shine to the sides. So here's my white box. And let's get Kevin's goodies. Okay, I have two shinies. So here's one shiny, and here is another shiny. And I just added them. We're going to put that there. And you can use brace wax, brace for braces, but I use museum wax. Does it go backwards for you guys? I can't tell. Anyways, I'll put that in there in the links in the PDF when it's done. Let me grab this light down because we have to do side lighting. So when you're lighting with two lights, you always adjust for, this one's kind of different because we're crossing the lights. One of the reasons why you want to cross the lights for this stuff is because you want to see, you can see the Joshua tree really nicely. You know, people with portraits and stuff, they don't want side lights because it shows all their wrinkles and everything. But when you're doing coins and shiny stuff like that, of course, you don't want to just put the light right into the your subject, because you're going to get flare coming back, because the light's going to bounce in, come back. Also, you won't be able to see all. Look at how beautiful that Joshua tree is. It's gorgeous. Actually my favorite is this one. Look at this one. I love this one. We got this at Virginia City, and that's gold on the bottom right there. But you can see I have the one light because one side of the coin has shadows. Let me go ahead and put on the other light. Let's go over there. And I mean, you're using a tent also because you don't, just like pearls, you don't want to be bouncing. The light needs to be all over the place. It can't just go straight into these reflective objects. It's just going to show everything. So let's go ahead and put the other light on. And I'm going to play. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to move things around a little bit. Hold on. I'm going to go back and forth. This is, it's like a puzzle. You just got to play with it. Okay. See, I moved. I don't know if you noticed, but watch. Went this way. You see the shadow? Now I'm moving it off and the shadow's kind of going away. So let's go back farther. See the shadow? There's another new shadow. So you just start maneuvering until you really like what you see. I like this. I'm going to actually take a shot here. I'm going to go up here. It's like I can change my stuff here. So F11, see how the histogram right here to the right is sharing that it's a little overexposed. I don't really need, let's go to 8. We're going to go to 4. Let's give it a little bit, 2. And there it is. I love it. Isn't that pretty?